I wonder how the disciples slept on that Thursday night. What about Jesus' family? How do you settle down to rest when you are carrying so much anguish and concern for one that you've loved, or even such deep disappointment towards the one who had betrayed Jesus and the one who had denied even knowing him? Now it's the day we call Good Friday, but I doubt any of them who'd had a restless night felt anything close to good. In John 18, verse 28 onwards, the focus is on Pilate. He was being pulled back and forth between engaging with Jesus in what seemed to be something of a meaningful conversation and those who had brought Jesus to him as a criminal. Pilate was meant to be the one who was in charge. But the pressure that was on him from everyone else was huge. He had the power to release Jesus, but then if he did that, his fear was that the crowd would riot. He did all that he could to satisfy the angry crowd, but in the end, he acted like the one who had no power or control at all. Listen as I read to you from John chapter 19, verse 16 verses. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him in the face. Once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jews insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claims to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realise I have the power to either free you or crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore the one who handed you over to me is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to free Jesus, but the Jews kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of Passover week, about the sixth hour. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, take him away, crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to be crucified. There's an exchange of power and control in the way that John records the events of that morning. It shifts from Pilate, the ruler of the people around him, to Jesus. Jesus has already rightly stated in John 18, verse 37, that he is the king. Those who heard him claim that were so appalled because they were only listening through the haze of their own limited understanding or acceptance. If they hadn't witnessed firsthand all that Jesus had done and said, they would have heard account of it from others who they respected well enough to trust. But it still hadn't been enough for them. That limited understanding can't get past their view of king as the one to rule over and protect people in the physical sense. Whether they had inherited their views from others around them or they had worked them out for themselves, they couldn't yet see that Jesus as king meant so much more. The power and control that Jesus held in that moment was more than enough to cause the earthly ruler, Pilate, to doubt that Jesus deserved to die like a common criminal. Notice how Jesus stayed in control here. He could have just told Pilate what he wanted to hear and walked free. But through the power of his sovereignty as Lord and Saviour, Jesus remained in control. This is where Jesus is showing us a glimpse of why this was Good Friday. This was the fulfillment of God's salvation plan for the world. All power and control was his. Let me read again to you, same chapter, John 19, from verse 17 now. The soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which is in Aramaic is Golgotha. Here they crucified him, and with him two others, one each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read the sign from the place where Jesus was crucified, and it was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I've written, I've written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Just listen. Listen to the jeers of the crowd, encouraging the soldiers to get on with the gruesome task, impatient to see things through. Listen to the thud of the hammer, or its chime on the nail heads as they're driven into Jesus' body, sounding out the finality of this moment. Listen to the screams of pain from Jesus, piercing the scene with intense anguish. And from the other two men who were crucified at the time, we read more about them in Luke 23. Listen to the cries from Jesus' mother, from his close friends, the disciples. Can you hear the distress of Pilate in the background? John doesn't mention that, nobody does, but surely it's possible. The cries we can hear are those of grief, of loss, of bewilderment, fear, and hopelessness. We've moved from Jesus displaying the fullness of his power and control to him seemingly having every bit of it ripped away. Surely this is the end. John 19 from verse 28 says this. Later, knowing that was all that was now completed, and so the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I'm thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stick of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Jesus is dead. His own words made that clear. It is finished. But what has finished? The cruelty is over. Those who thought that victory was theirs might have described it as by saying that the battle between heaven and earth is now finished. But look, we know a different answer, don't we? But don't rush to that just yet, because Friday isn't over. On top of the inconvenience for Pilate that this was happening at all, it was also awkward timing in terms of the Jewish traditions. The three lifeless bodies couldn't be left on the crosses overnight because the next day was the Sabbath, and to remove them then would have amounted to work that wasn't allowed on that day. So the practical minds in the crowd set about doing what was needed to clear up all of the inconvenience and all of the awkwardness and move it out of sight. Just a few more verses from John chapter 19. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. And then Mark's gospel tells us, they rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Listen again. Listen to the grinding sound of the heavy stone being rolled over the entrance of the tomb where Jesus' body was laid. The tomb is closed. Access to Jesus is no longer possible. As we leave the story there until another day, think about all that's happened on this Friday morning and into the other parts of the day. Jesus, the one with all sovereignty, power and control, the one who declared for himself that he had come to give life in all its fullness, he's been treated like the worst of criminals, subjected to the most horrendous death of all. Where do we find life in all its fullness now? When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Amen.